Hello, Marion Pallister, Vice Chair of Justice and Peace Scotland here on this Pentecost Sunday. We may still not be able to do all the usual things that a celebratory weekend offers in normal times, and as the threat of COVID-19 continues to hang over most countries around the world, most Christians won't be able to celebrate the descent of the Holy Spirit as they would expect to. Pentecost was an ancient festival celebrated every year by the Jews as a sort of harvest festival. Jerusalem would have been packed to the rafters. And in the middle of all the celebrations, down comes the Holy Spirit in a mighty rushing wind. Tongues of fire appear round the disciples of our Lord. And if that wasn't enough to make it one amazing public holiday, these disciples began to talk in tongues. They were understood by everyone who had gathered from all erts and parts for the 50th day, the Jewish name of that Pentecost celebration. In Act 2, there's a reiteration of God's promise. It says, "And in the last days I will pour out my Spirit upon every sort of flesh, and your sons and your daughters will prophesy, and your young men will see visions, and your old men will dream dreams." Some 3,000 people are reported in Acts to have been baptized as a result of this wonderful event. Jesus had promised that the Holy Spirit would come down from heaven. Now that had happened, and the Holy Spirit was here to stay, to guide us and comfort us and inspire us. And I don't think I'm dreaming dreams when I say that there's been a feeling around during the period of COVID-19 restrictions that the Holy Spirit has been at work in a number of ways. Remember when social distancing was first introduced and we were all still allowed to worship in our church buildings, but the holy water disappeared and we had to bow to each other as a sign of peace, and we were only allowed to receive the host in our hands? We were all a bit shocked, but most of us took it in our stride. Priests even joked that we could do that kicking heels together as a less decorous alternative to the bow, and how we chuckled. And then came the real shock. Churches were locked, our spiritual homes were out of bounds. How would we cope? Well, the Holy Spirit seemed to step in, and very quickly we were able to participate in daily and Sunday masses and other services on radio, on TV and online. Parish priests and diocesan bishops learned media skills in double quick time. They may not have been speaking in tongues, but they were speaking the language of 2020, mass communication that has taken precious moments of worship into the hearts of our homes. There's always a voice of dissension, of course. I read an article by a priest, and I'm naming no names, who questioned both the validity of mass being said by a solitary priest and the ability of the laity to give proper respect to a mass being streamed to them on TV or a tablet. Now, I'm certainly not qualified to discuss the validity of mass said by my bishop in his oratory in Oban, or by my parish priest in a makeshift chapel set up in the house because the Wi-Fi signal wasn't strong enough in the church. Pope Francis seemed to approve, and I'm afraid that's good enough for me. I do feel it is an injustice, however, to accuse the laity of being unable to give due respect to the mass streamed into their homes. The priest who came up with this theory felt that we are a generation used to channel hopping, to chatting during TV programmes, and to multitasking while the TV is on, leaving it lonely in the background while we do the ironing, make the breakfast or feed the cat. Perhaps all of that is true, but I am convinced that those of us, and we are many, many thousands, who have chosen to find mass on our laptops, our TV screens, our iPads and phones, are making that choice because we want to devote our minds and hearts to this holy celebration that we have not been able to attend in the flesh. Many have dedicated a special place in their homes with a crucifix, holy images, even flowers picked on those precious walks we've been allowed. I've seen all the pictures on social media. Why would we spoil it all by, munching popcorn and flicking through the channels to see whether Father this is offering somebody something better than Father that, or the bishop or Pope Francis himself is giving a homily we rate more highly? We surely deserve a little more credit than that. Guided by the Holy Spirit, we made the choice to share this precious time, knowing that as we gave the appropriate responses and kneeled at the appropriate moments, we linked spiritually with those we weren't able to physically see and touch for such a long time, and to link spiritually with our Lord. Around the world, there are communities who are always unable to receive the sacraments for weeks, months at a stretch, because of their remoteness, their lack of priests. We bemoan our situation imposed because of a deadly virus, but in the normality that we'll return to, we are blessed indeed. Of course, it hasn't only been our ability to worship in our churches that has been denied us. Many things have had to be put on hold, including the world's other crisis, the climate emergency. As you know, Justice and Peace Scotland has been campaigning on this issue for some time, and you can see many inspirational ideas on our website, www.justiceandpeacescotland.org. We followed up our major Laudato Si, Caring for Our Common Home conference last autumn by becoming part of an ecumenical group preparing for the COP26 conference that was to have taken place in Glasgow in November this year. The COVID-19 situation has meant that COP26 is postponed, but the climate emergency hasn't gone away. What has happened, however, is that the lockdown proved very quickly that reductions in emissions created remarkably cleaner air. Rivers became clearer. The murky waters that have surrounded Venice for so long because of the boats and cruise ships pumping effluent into the lagoon have become a bright 1720s Canaletto blue. Our skies, no longer clogged by air pollution, reveal stars and planets few town dwellers have been able to see for, possibly since the start of the Industrial Revolution. Conversely, we've seen that those living in areas with the heaviest air pollution have been the worst affected by the virus. Surely the Holy Spirit is telling us something vital about the care of our common home. The targets for climate change are possible. We just need to push, and perhaps push harder. Campaigners and even the UN Secretary General, Antonio Guterres, have been inspired by the cooperative mechanisms put in place to combat COVID-19. They've been inspired enough to think that similar planning and cooperation could be used to achieve the goals needed to halt the climate crisis. Mr. Guterres tweeted that COVID-19 has exposed the fragility of our societies to global shocks such as disease or the climate crisis. And he added that as we recover, we must build a better future for all. Together we can protect our planet, improve health, reduce inequality, and re-energise struggling economies. Now, of course, nobody is expecting miracles to result from the pandemic, and the Secretary General is only too well aware that the political will still has to be won. But he says that in planning the coronavirus pandemic recovery, there has been what he says is a profound opportunity to steer the world on a path that tackles climate change, protects the environment, reverses biodiversity loss and ensures the long-term health and security of mankind. To me, it sounds like common sense when he adds that by making the transition to low-carbon, climate-resilient growth, we can create a world that is clean, green, safe, just, and more prosperous for all. And that, of course, is what the Justice and Peace Commission of the Scottish Bishops' Conference wants above all, a world that is just for all. And okay, maybe I'm hearing what I want to hear, but just as those who were there that day the Holy Spirit descended, this is a man who speaks our language when he says, "Let us use the pandemic recovery to provide a foundation for a safe, healthy, inclusive, and more resilient world for all people." Pope Francis has, of course, been thinking along similar lines for some time. He recently told the Tablet that the outbreak offered an opportunity to slow down the rate of production and consumption and to learn to understand and contemplate the natural world. His Holiness designated May 16th to 24th Laudato Si Week. It's 5 years since he issued his document called Laudato Si, Caring for Our Common Home, and the climate crisis has become more acute since then. Now, the Holy Spirit seems to be reaching out to more people than up to date. More are hearing the language of climate crisis. More leaders, more individuals like ourselves, are understanding the seriousness, the urgency, the need to care very properly for our common home. Perhaps it's been a case of show, not tell. The scientific jargon and statistics certainly do confuse those of us who don't have a scientific brain, like me, certainly find that that is so. But when we see the ice caps melt and the fires destroy huge areas of Australia, the disproportionate number of poor and disadvantaged people dying of COVID-19 because they live in the most polluted atmospheres, these we understand. This visual language is the game changer. Whatever the sceptical priest may think of watching Mass online, I think we'll find an upsurge in reality attendance of Mass after this crisis is well and truly over, or at least a rise in those who are happy to confess their faith. And whatever the difficulties we may have faced during lockdown, I feel sure we will push for justice when it's all over. Justice for those who suffer most, yet create the lowest carbon emissions. Justice for the earth itself. I like to think the mighty rushing wind of change is at work. And so, may I finish with part of the prayer that the final day of Laudato Si Week last Sunday gave us to contemplate in the time ahead. Loving God, creator of heaven and earth and all that is in them, you created us in your image and made us stewards of all your creation, of our common home. Be present to those in need in these trying times, especially the poorest and those most at risk of being left behind. Help us to show creative solidarity in addressing the consequences of this global pandemic. Make us courageous to embrace the changes that are needed in search of the common good. Now, more than ever, may we feel that we are all interconnected in our efforts to lift up the cry of the earth and the cry of the poor. And we make our prayer through Christ our Lord. Amen. Thank you for listening. Continue to stay safe and well, and may you walk with Christ. Amen. Thank you.